It's now time to think outside the box of what we've always known.
I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord.
I think that's a profound turning point in somebody's relationship with God.
And our hope in starting this was that this would become an ever-expanding conversation.
Just two real guys talking about life. That's a nice tagline.
I'm Wayne Jacobson.
And I'm Brad Cummings.
And welcome to another edition of The God Journey.
We're here for another edition of The God Journey.
I think they knew that when they punched the button.
Yeah, well, we're back.
I don't know if we went anywhere. I did, but... Oh, you did. You went to Orange County.
Yeah, I've been doing 20-hour work days remodeling a house. But I had dinner with Glenn and his family. It was fantastic.
Oh, Glenn from The God Journey.
Wayne was playing his little violin on his head for me. There's no love. There's no sympathy.
You didn't get no love out of that?
No, I didn't.
It was 20-hour work days.
Yeah, well, hey, it's all wonderful.
That's 4 hours sleep, but I'm not buying it.
No, it works.
20 hours.
I come home and then I hang with my family for a couple of days and I go back down.
And then go back and torture yourself again.
It's all good. Hey, you were in D.C.
I was in Nashville first and then D.C.
And you hung out with some weird people.
And it seems like, well, I don't know if they'd like that. This is weird.
Oh, that's right. They might be listening.
Oh, I tell you what, this is hilarious. And I know when she hears this, she's going to think it's, strange. But the bridge builder side of my life and the live stream side of my life, they're like matter and antimatter.
There's no bridge between them.
Well, they sometimes, but I...
Separate worlds.
I try not to let them get too close. And I'm... Nashville, I've arrived for this big conference on getting people on both sides of the culture wars to kind of sit down and process the ways to work together. ACLU is there. The
Ooh.
Christian educators are there.
Ooh.
Just all academics, lawyers. We got everybody there. And we're having this Sunday night little reception before dinner. And so everybody's got their little wine and hors d'oeuvres, and we're sitting there yakking in this area. And this gal comes up to me, a lady I've worked with a number of times with Bridge Builders, and just think she's amazing. She come up to me, and she's saying, hi, we're reconnecting. She said, by the way, I love your podcast. I went, what? Hold it. This is matter and antimatter coming together.
A moment of shock.
And the science fiction world, that's not good. I'm like, what are you talking about? She said, oh, I listen to your podcast every week, man. I just love what you guys are talking about. And she just goes on and on. People, you have a podcast? What's a podcast about? Oh, great. So,
your worlds are converging, Wayne.
Thanks, Marcia. Appreciate it very much. Thanks for outing me in Nashville. So, yeah.
What? Are you ashamed of the God Journey podcast in some of those circles, or do you just keep it quiet?
Not ashamed. I think it's a matter of discretion. Discretion's important when you're dealing with people that carry lots of initials after their names, like the NEA, the ACLU, the PTA.
You mean they're not regularly listening to the God Journey?
NSBA. They might now.
They might now.
Yeah, it's kind of scary. But
you weren't expecting that.
No, I was. It was hilarious because I went, wow, I'm not ready for this. But, you know, on the other side of that, talking to a woman there who's from Utah. We got talking about some really difficult things her family's going through, which I can't give details here, but came up because she was asking what I was working on lately. And I was telling a little bit about the shack. And she's, wow, I bet my daughter could really use that because she'd been through a real rough patch. And she said, how'd you get involved in a thing like that? And I said, I wrote this other book, So You Don't Want to Go to Church Anymore. And this guy read it and sent me the manuscript. And she goes, can I have a copy of that? I said, what? So you don't want to go to church anymore? She said, yeah, I'm dying to read that. So I'm smuggling in a copy of So You Don't Want to Go to Church Anymore so that a good Mormon lady from Utah can read it. So it'd be interesting to see how that sorts out.
You're going to upset the whole Mormon religion there, huh?
I Bridge Builders may be over as we know it.
You're burning bridges, are you, Wayne?
No, I'm not burning them, but...
No, I think that's fantastic. That's great.
Had some great conversations to talk about Jesus with folks, as well as sitting down with the ACLU and some other folks and talking about, is there any way to move intelligent design into a public school classroom that won't upset the evolutionists and drag people to court? And
what'd they say?
You know what? There is. There's a way to get it done. We didn't find that way these 3 days, but I think we found things we could do and next steps that may get us there. And, I was just encouraged to hear, you know, you read about people in the newspaper, and I'm reminded again of just how much you get vilified in newspapers.
And that's how they sell them.
And then when you actually meet the people behind the quote and you meet people, you go, man, they're not like that at all. Newspapers, media really do give us a one-dimensional view of people. I think that's definitely happened to me when I've been interviewed in various things, and you read it later and you go, oh my goodness, that wasn't really what I think.
Well, it almost seems as if they purposely try to egg on the controversy to sort of elicit some sort of a fight, and you know, see, as opposed to really finding out what's going on.
Boy, we're seeing that now with the general, the chairman.
Oh, he sure stepped in it, huh?
Oh my gosh, I don't know if y'all have heard some of what's gone over here in our country, but our chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, which is the highest ranking military guy in our culture, said some things about morality and immorality, and maybe we ought to give it a listen.
You got a clip?
My upbringing is such that I believe that there are certain things, certain types of conduct that are immoral. I believe that military members who sleep with other military members' wives are immoral in their conduct, and that we should not tolerate that. I believe that homosexual acts between individuals are immoral, and that we should not condone immoral acts.
That's Marine General Peter Pace, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He's responding to a reporter's question about his personal views of homosexuality, and
he just kind of clearly said it.
And he's been paying a huge price. People are calling for his ouster.
Why all the rancor about it? Because when you just listen to it, he's making a couple of clear, concise statements of his own personal beliefs, and all it's hinged on is the fact that to say that something's immoral, you're saying that there is a moral, and this is not conforming to that.
But you know how this gets translated in the media is, you're calling these people immoral, these people, 65,000 somehow thinking might be homosexuality in the American military, you're dissing them as people if you're concerned about the act of homosexuality.
No, but he's not saying that.
No, I know he's not saying that. I'm telling you how the media jumps all over this thing.
Sure, but why are they reacting about it? I mean, it's like, you know what? It's not as if this is somehow news. It really isn't news. It's not like a new idea. It's not like a new concept.
Right.
You're just going like, okay, is there or is there not a standard by which we call something moral?
Not in the world.
Yeah, they kind of say, nope, anything goes.
Not anything goes. That's not true. But I think the homosexuality question, I think people would say cheating on your spouse. He's not taking heat for that. He's taking heat for saying...
Now, isn't that interesting?
Yeah, well, I think pretty much people get that. I think we can call that immoral. I think we can call robbing a bank immoral. I think we can call obscene profits from fuel companies.
Oh, there you go.
Immoral.
You just might step in that. The reality is, why can you call that immoral, but not this?
You know, I think because, honestly, I don't think the military may have an issue with what he said, because one of the things I understand from military people you're trained to do is not ever give your personal views on religion and morality or politics in uniform, because that brings in larger associates. You're not just a normal person standing there.
And there may be some wisdom in that.
I mean, I think this guy gets A points for theology maybe, but probably D grade for his sensitivity to the moment. He was asked a personal question. Maybe he knew or didn't know it was being recorded, but the recording isn't that good. So you don't get the feeling like he was standing at a nice microphone somewhere. It's a really bad recording. So maybe it was just on a reporter's handheld. And sometimes you forget they're there. But the reality is I made almost a similar comment Saturday afternoon in D.C. I'm meeting with the PTA and the NEA and the NSBA and all these about 17 very influential educating groups, lobbying groups for public education. We were talking about sexual orientation, harassment, and people of faith, and how we can we actually find a balance between, hey, we all have to say gay is okay, when in fact a significant number of people in our country don't believe gay is okay. They're informed by their religious beliefs or their faith or whatever, that there are moral issues that underlie homosexuality. And I'm on a panel with the deputy director of the Gay, Lesbian, Straight Education Network and the Christian Educator Association executive director. And I basically said that whole thing. There are many of us who believe homosexuality is immoral. There's many people who do not believe that in our culture. And schools shouldn't be the ones to make that determination, shouldn't referee the culture war. And what we should work for in schools is, how do we treat each other with respect, given the fact that we have these disagreements that even strike to things like morality? And I didn't get any controversy at all from that statement. So this is, in some extent, well, I guess what I'm saying is, this is a fabrication of the media. The media wants to use these comments, which they know are going to be inflammatory with certain people, to move the don't ask, don't tell policy of the military back into the forefront and get it repealed. And that's likely, I mean, the Democrats have already pushed that kind of bill in the Senate and probably the House. And I think what underlies this is people that are saying, ah, okay, now we can change this policy, which if you believe,
so they're driving their agenda.
If you believe gay is okay, yeah, then you're going to struggle with that policy, obviously, and you're going to want it changed at some point. So this is probably the good excuse to do it.
But when you look at the whole culture war, I mean, no one seems to be having a whole bunch of lawsuits or fights or issues when they say, you know, the Christians are backward and kind of idiotic in their beliefs and, you know, whatever kind of derogatory comments they want to say about, you know, whether you believe in God or not. You sit there, it's like, I don't see any lawsuits coming forth like, well, you can't say that about me.
Yeah, and I don't think you'll see lawsuits here, but I understand what you're saying. The thing is,
it's like, it doesn't seem to go both ways.
It doesn't. Like the battle cry group that was in San Francisco last weekend. And the city's wanting to shut it down. They made restrictions on their audio playing too loud in the neighborhood. Because the city of tolerance, which is how San Francisco likes to be known, the city of tolerance is tolerant of anything
but Christianity.
Except the belief in faith that says certain things are moral and immoral.
And for those that don't know, what was the battle cry thing?
Oh, we did that a few months ago, I guess. But it's the Teen Mania's attempt to rally evangelicals back to a passion for, and they really,
whole bunch of teenagers together and
whoop and cry and
whoop
scream
and cry.
At Jesus.
Let's just say, God, we're going to be pure. We're going to be with, and they don't have the freedom to do that.
In San Francisco, some people didn't want them to do it. Yeah. I mean, they did it because it was legal for them to do it. I mean, everything that...
And they picked San Francisco probably randomly, huh?
I think they didn't need the media attention for that. Well, there was an interesting court case out here in California that had to do with the homosexuality issue in the court. A kid wore a shirt to school, t-shirt, said, be ashamed. We have condoned what God has condemned. And on the back says, homosexuality is immoral. Principal said, you got to take it off. And the kid said, no, I don't. Free speech rights, I can wear the shirt. Well, the principal suspended him for 3 days. Parents sued. The first judge that heard the case said, yeah, that the principal was right. Shirt's inflammatory. Had the right to ask him to remove it. Later, another court said, nope, the kid's got free speech rights. Parents, principal went too far. Went to the Ninth Circuit. Finally, the Supreme Court. Last week, Supreme Court said, no, the shirt's okay. The shirt's free speech rights. And when I was talking to someone from the Gay, Lesbian, Straight Education Network, she said to me, I think the court's got that right. And I said, what? You do? She said, yeah. We're concerned not about beliefs, but behavior. You don't have the right to legislate beliefs. People do believe homosexuality is immoral. We're not trying to contest that. How do you make people change a belief? You don't.
Well, that's refreshing.
It was. She said, the other time, the behavior is... And this kid did nothing else. He wasn't harassing gay people. He wasn't discriminating against them in any way. He just had a belief, and in the views of the Day of Silence, which is how the gay, straight groups get their message out in the spring, they have this Day of Silence where everybody's real silent. Christians have begun this Day of Truth, and they're very vocal about it. But in the context of him expressing his belief, he evidenced no behavior that was discriminatory or hateful or advocating violence or destruction. She said, I think the court's got it right. And I think that is, and that's what I find when I actually meet with the ACLU and meet with some of these folks, they're not the caricatures we put in the
media. Yeah, you take it out of the spotlight of what's been fomented, and it's refreshing to hear that there's some intelligent reality of being able to sit back and look at that and say, yeah. By the laws of the land that do govern us all, that's an appropriate ruling. And it's like refreshing.
Yeah, it is very refreshing.
Because most of the time it's like very biased. No, no, we're the only group that has the freedom to do whatever. You can't say that or think that.
Yeah, and I think what we're trying, and I think most Americans get this, that there is a difference between me saying something is immoral And then you should be punished for that.
Therefore, I'm going to hit you with a bat.
And it does focus on homosexuality. We've said this before. It does focus on homosexuality in a way that we don't focus on greed. We don't focus on pride. We don't focus on arrogance. We don't have the same passion to war against sins. The Christian community has chosen this one sin to just beat the blazes out of it.
And it seems a little inconsistent.
It's very inconsistent, and it causes a lot of pain. But I think most people get it. If I can sit there with that lady from the Gay, Lesbian, Straight Education Network, I may not agree with the morality of homosexuality that she agrees with. You know what? She probably doesn't agree with the morality of my religious faith. She probably thinks it's pretty sick. But you know what? It doesn't matter. To say you have the right to be in society and I do, we don't have to agree on the morality of things. And I think that's where the media now is turning this other discussion for this poor general on the wrong deal. It's not, gosh, is it immoral? Is it not immoral? Some people believe our culture it is. They're informed by faith, and I'm informed by that. I would say, you know what? Homosexuality is something God gets to transform in people's lives. I'm sorry for folks that are there. I'm sorry for every temptation that we all face in various ways that we've got to overcome through our relationship with Jesus. But it doesn't change. We have to say, well, everything's okay. Everything's fine. I think one of the mistakes we've made is we have so vilified the homosexual community as bad people that the more you meet folks from the cake, they're not bad people. They have a different view of morality. Absolutely.
Right.
But it doesn't mean they're bad, criminal, subversive. You know, and the ways we've painted that, I think, is coming back to backfire.
Well, I think one of the beautiful things that I'm guessing was the intention when you look at our country is to be able to have an environment of freedom, that's fantastic. But when that gets misunderstood as if, well, you can't believe this, you know, because, you know, like the atheist, well, you can't believe in God because I don't, it's going, excuse me, that's not freedom. It's
right.
Like you have the complete freedom to not believe in God. I might think, gosh, that's dumb, that's foolish, I think that's weird. But I have the freedom to believe that about you. Now, would Jesus ask me to say, well, I think you're stupid? I don't think he's encouraging that from me.
The problem from the Christian side of this is most Christians would define freedom as that which our country used to be when the Judeo-Christian ethic was the standard of the day. We didn't have these discussions about homosexuality. We didn't have these discussions about these kinds of things. I think there's a significant voice that is also in these discussions, and I met some of them too, that really are about, you know what? We got to get this country back to Jesus because freedom is only by living things his way. And that's what threatens these other groups who say we'll get marginalized.
I think that's where there's, you know, for me, a real disconnect in the culture war. It's kind of like, you know what? It isn't about, gee, who's in charge? And we've got to drag this thing back to the imposition of our beliefs upon others. And that's somehow freedom. I mean, when you say it like that, that sounds kind of stupid. But I do know that that's how a lot of Christians are approaching it. You're just going like, you know what? But the beauty of our country, as I think it was designed, it wasn't assuming, as some people want to say, that everyone believes in God and we're all, you know, God-fearing people. I don't think that that's true or fair to necessarily say.
Well, if you were in Puritan New England, you didn't follow the rules. You got stuck in the stocks and
I know, but in terms of what was written, I don't think they were mandating a belief in God. I think that was there, but what they wrote down.
No, they were mandating. The Puritans were mandating.
Well, okay, but in terms of the document that everyone's arguing over, in terms of
how the First Amendment and the Constitution, absolutely.
I think there's a beauty in the fact that they're asking and looking to lay down the environment of freedom, where one group cannot impose something on the other.
Right.
And the God-fearing group can't impose the belief of God on all those that want to say, well, I don't believe there is a God, just as much as I don't believe it's fair for a group of folks to say, I don't believe there's a God, and your belief in a God so affects me that you can't have. I mean, I think both of those are ludicrous.
They are ludicrous. But passing some of that language in an age when 98% of us believe in the Christian God and reflect the morals of that Christian belief, that's a very different way to say it than to say it now in the 21st century when only 32% of us embrace the ideals of God's morality as Scripture describes it, at least as best that the statistics can get to it. It's a very different thing to say it now because I don't think people then knew that the freedom it would mean then would apply to groups now that I think certain Christians would like to keep in the closet and hidden and somehow marginalized. And I do think there's a strong voice for that. One of the things I note about the culture wars as I'm involved in these DC meetings and Nashville meetings is the fact that there's a whole lot of money to be made in this whole culture wars through the conflict. Yeah. When you actually get down to, we could resolve this peacefully. There are people who don't want to. Our reason for being, our fundraising is based on the culture war.
Vilifying our enemy.
That's true on the left and the right. That's also true of the media. There's a lot of money to be made in keeping this climate very, very hot, very, very anxious, taking a general's comments and spinning them into something that they didn't mean at all. This is all part of money. And you know what? The folks that are spinning it into a debate on gays, you know, getting that don't ask, don't tell thing out of the military, they're going to make a ton of money out of this. But you know what? The groups that are going to defend the general and come out, they're going to make a ton of money out of this. The fundraising letters are already being written. You can bet on it. We need your money to keep up this fight. And that's why there's no passion at a national level. Same way Republicans and Democrats. I sit in these meetings. We're talking across the thing and they're saying, you know what? If we can't, if Republicans and Democrats start working together, fundraising collapses. There's no reason to have an election. There's no reason to make people mad enough to go vote. That our system is based on the kind of immoral conflict. I'll say the word immoral in this context. The same immoral conflict that is primarily money and power driven.
Lust for power, lust for greed.
And not in the best interest of our country. So, yuck.
Yuck.
I got another fun thing.
You got something hot off the presses. There
Thanks,
you
sir.
Go.
Since we're packing the media in today, let's take another shot. This is from our local paper, and if I can find it, I'll put a link on the blog so folks who want to hear it, who want to read the column. This is from an editor of the paper in the county in which Brad and I live. And there was a recent conclave at a university about religion and society. And this he made some comments that have also ticked some people off. This is an editor, and he says this. The woman who was to become my mother-in-law was the first person to tell me that although she never went to church, she considered herself a religious person. I was 19, dating her daughter, so I checked the urge to tell her what I thought of her convenient definition. She has not been the last person I have known to circle that religious definition conveniently around her personal lifestyle choices. You don't want to practice organized religion and you don't want to practice a good life? That's fine. I know lots of people who live virtuous lives without going to church. I just question folks who justify their claim to be spiritually connected to God when they cannot make the sacrifice of spending a few hours a week doing something they should do, not everything they want to do. Oh, man.
Yuck!
This guy's taking a good hit. Not everybody liked what he said, obviously, and the fact that somehow what the editor of the local paper is telling us what's religion and what's spirituality, hilarious. But I find this, and this I think for people, this affects a lot of our podcast folks a lot. Because I think that's the false dichotomy people often paint of this thing. There's people who go to church, quote unquote, because they're supposed to. They're doing the right thing. They give a couple hours a week to
and
something
they know
that's
the
miserable.
Rules.
And they follow the rules. Yeah. And the folks that aren't doing that, that's just because they want to go live their selfish, indulgent lives and do everything they want to do. And they really don't care about God. They're just going to throw a spiritual tag on. That's a false dichotomy. That's not the people I live with. That's not the people I'm talking to.
No, and it's like, I mean, you take all of this in a context of if it's about relationship and it's about knowing a person, this God, as an individual, then this guy sounds stupid, and the argument about the general sounds kind of stupid. Because
wow.
It isn't really focused
Your name
on
calling.
The rules. Yes, I am.
Stop
and I
it.
Have the freedom
Stop
in this. I have the freedom in this country to do it. The reality is, you know what? So goofy about this guy's premise is, you know, religion is about rules, and you can't just throw those out. And part of the rules and the tradition is you go and you sit here and you do this, and you ought to make that sacrifice for a couple hours because you should. It has nothing to do with what goes on for those couple hours.
And if not, you're a faker.
Yeah. Or you're just one of those guys that going off the deep end doing whatever you want, and you're going to justify anything.
And I hear what he's saying. I do know people who claim to be incredibly spiritual, not religious, who are incredibly self-indulgent. I know those people.
They're self-styled spirituality.
Exactly. I'll take a little bit from column A and a little bit from column B, and it just miraculously seems to fit everything I want and
justifies what I want.
Here, though, he says the difference between religion and spirituality is, here's my favorite word, accountability.
Oh, a nice one.
If religion is about me and my God and my faith community, then I'm responsible for living up to rules by which we all agree. But if my spirituality is about me and my God, then I change the rules whenever they seem a little too hard to follow.
Let's make an assumption there.
There is no one on this planet to hold me accountable to those rules. I love the way it defines religion. I got to tell you, if religion is rules and accountability, I'm on that page.
He's kind of got it right there.
That's why I'm just going, you know what? That's why that doesn't work for me.
Check that at the door.
That's why that. But if it's where he gets it wrong, though, it's about my faith community. If it's about me living alongside brothers and sisters who are loving the same God I love, not to my own indulgence. I mean, everything I read in Scripture is deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. That God's agenda is counteracting
mine. Considering others more valuable.
And God's agenda is countering mine almost at every point. I don't wake up every day and say, here's what I would like to do, and God's, 90% on the same page with me. I'm most days, okay, can't, no, not doing there. Don't. What God wants to do in my life, where God asked me to go, where God asked me to put my life on the line, I'm telling you, it's not stuff I would vote for if I was going to live an indulgent life. I wouldn't.
Yeah, but you're not going about trying to live an indulgent life. So God isn't 90% opposed to where you're at. I mean, I understand what you're saying there.
Yeah, the flesh. I'm talking about the flesh and what the flesh wants. But the point is, he only sees those two things. People who go to boring services because it's their duty, and people who don't because they're too busy pleasing themselves. That's what's nuts.
And what's missing is an actual God that can be related to, who's wondrous and intoxicating in and of himself.
It's not God here. It's rules and accountability.
I know, but what's missing there is the genuineness of a God.
I'm looking for God.
I know, it's not in there. Because it's not, but, it's so weird. I think there's a through line that connects this and the culture war is that, people out there, as opposed to relating to a person, here is Jesus. God, very God, someone I can befriend and know for myself. And we've substituted that for our traditions, our rules, our standards, that you've got to adhere to this or you got to adhere to that. And people argue. And it's like, you know what? You take a homosexual and you actually introduce them to the person of Jesus.
Not the rules. What about the rules? Don't they need to know the rules?
That homosexual man will fall in love with the man, Christ Jesus.
Watch how you're saying
that. And there's not going to be something weird and defiled about that love relationship.
Yeah.
There's the person of Jesus, be you male or female.
Good.
You're going to fall in love with that man, Christ Jesus. You're going to look at him and go like, wow. And it's like, if that was happening, I think we'd have a lot less arguing about all this other junk, because as I get to know him, and I have the desire to walk with him, I'm not going to be treating people the way we're treating each other.
No, don't need to be rude. Don't need to bash them. We have
don't
something.
Need to force
don't need to,
my thoughts and beliefs upon them.
Don't need to pack the rules in my backpack, sharing them with everybody. Because I think you're right. I think if we engage people with the reality of who God is, he changes them from the inside.
Yeah.
I've got stories every year or two. Once or twice a year, I hear from somebody that tells me the story of how they were in a long-term committed homosexual relationship with somebody and then began to go on this God journey, began to sort out who God was. And as they lived along God for a time, justifying what they were doing. God's okay with it. It's just the, uninformed rules.
A lot of us live with God and justify a lot of things for a long
time. Absolutely.
Catalog of different lists.
But what I love about these stories is somewhere down the road, things started changing internally. And then they're kind of realizing one day, you know what? I'm not really this way. I'm not really gay. I've bought into something that hasn't been true about me, something that was twisted. And as God untwisted it, they find themselves walking out of those relationships and embracing the God who is. And I think that's everything about the book draws us to that point. Rules are not enough to change you. If you don't engage the reality of who God is, you will not be changed. But if you do engage him as the real God he is, you will be changed. There's no way not to be.
Yeah, and it's like, what seems so goofy to me about, and I don't want to, I'm not trying to decry the battle cry, but you get a whole bunch of people.
I don't mind.
You get a whole bunch of people in say, a stadium here, and they're going to have this event, and we're going to champion our rules. We're going to champion our standards. We're going to champion our morals. And you just go like, gosh, why does that cry come out empty and kind of haranguing as if, you know, who's the enemy here? And just about anybody who's not at the meeting is going to feel like the enemy, whether you agree with them or not. They're making a stand. And it's like, you know what? I'd make that same stand, but not for the rules, but for the person behind those. Those rules don't mean anything in and of themselves.
Yep. They won't change, folks.
No.
But it is. It does fulfill kind of – despair.com had this rule for consulting.
Oh, that's a great website, despair.com.
It's hilarious. But they have a deal on consulting. I think it probably applies to battle cry. And what it said was this is about consulting and possibly about battle cry. If you're not part of the solution, there's a lot of money to be made in prolonging the problem.
Oh, God. I think that – that does draw me to despair. Wow.
When I look at the culture war issues, when I look at language like this, hey, people need to be in, keeping the rules. It's about accountability. Here's how he concludes this column, by the way. This is Tim Gallagher from the Ventura County Star. My belief, traditional as it may be, is that spirituality cannot exist outside the realm of religion. When I get to that, then I'm like,
ooh.
I'm not sure it can exist inside of it. I think it exists in spite of it. I think there are people who do embrace a lot of religion who come to know who God is, but I still don't. And then he says, a church of one worshiper is no religion at all. And spirituality is the basis of religion. Not a separate circle that allows a person to make up the rules as they go along.
See, but that isn't a relationship with a person either.
No.
I'm not trying to make up the rules or, disavow the rules.
Yeah.
It isn't about the rules. It is about a relationship. And that could become a little mantra that doesn't mean anything. But once you meet the person, man, that means everything.
Because people can say they have a relationship and they're being spiritual and they're growing in their own indulgences. That's true. That happens all the time. But that doesn't negate the reality of people who engage him as Father don't live
that way,
indulgent lives. And they don't wanting to just be isolated alone. I've met a ton of folks on this trip. And I met them in Franklin, Tennessee for a couple of days before my bridge builder work started there. And then on the backside of my work in D.C., I met out in Maryland with a group of folks on a Friday night discussing some things. And then on Saturday night and Sunday, a group of people from a pretty broad area. People drove down from Pennsylvania. People drove over from various parts of Virginia. We were in Bethesda, Maryland at the time. We had a great night sharing our journeys. Next morning, these people, some new young couples, just freshly married, first kid on the way, come in on the same journey. Nobody in that room virtually knew each other before the weekend except just a couple of phone call kinds of things. And I tell you what, we had the best time having dinner, eating, talking our journeys. I had to finally leave at 2 o'clock to head to the airport to get my flight back here. And I just got noted. I haven't read the whole email, but the families whose home we were in just wrote me today and said people stayed till 6. And it just seemed like nothing time-wise. It just flew by. And just the joy. I tell you, people that we're talking to on this journey, if you want to know who Jesus is, it's not people who want to disconnect themselves from the family. They'll drive across states to get together with people they don't know in a home just because they hunger to know other folks who know the Jesus they know and want to live on that journey. Just because you're bored with religion doesn't mean, or just because you see it beyond rules and accountability doesn't mean you're a self-indulgent slob. It can mean that, man, I want to know the real Jesus. I want to be changed by him, and I want to live the life that he called us to. Over and over again in the Gospels.
You see, if you want to be a self-indulgent, whatever, the reality is you can do that with rules or not, no rules. Your rules of your own or, the reality is if that's what you're going to do, you're going to be stuck there regardless of rules until you meet the person who can change that.
I was thinking about that earlier when Jesus spoke to the Pharisees and said, you think that your traditions and your rules are going to save you. And he said, you actually use the rules of God to please your own desires. You use your traditions to subvert God's law. So you've got something that your parents can be helped by, and it says honor your father and mother, but you're going to declare it committed to God so that you can keep using it and don't have to share it. And I think you're right. We can use religion as much to our own indulgence as you can rejecting all the rules and party time doing whatever it is you want to do.
Because I don't think God, I don't think he came into the world so that he could make us into a whole bunch of moral beings. I think he came because he wanted relationship. Yeah. I think he came for us, not to tell us the rules. And do I think the rules have value? Well, when I understand the heart behind them, yeah, absolutely. I think there's a much more wonderful way to live life that's laid out for us. But it's a life with a person. A life of rules, and I don't ever get to relate to God, I'm not really thinking that journey would be all that awesome.
No.
Sure, I might be moral. Sure, I might be, you know, by someone's standard, ooh, good person. But who gives a rip about that? It's like, you know what? If I can't relate to the God behind those rules, if that's absent, all you have is empty rules.
And would you drive across two states for an accountability group?
I don't think so.
I don't either. The depth of that's what I think people who miss, who look at it like this guy, this editor does. People who miss the idea that religion is just doing your obligation 10 o'clock Sunday morning or Saturday because that's your commitment to do it, and you're part of the faith community because you go sit through this thing, hasn't a clue as to how this faith can be lived out alongside other brothers. It's not just an individual. I'm just me and Jesus. I don't know of anybody who loves the Jesus I know who hangs out with a sense of independence and I'm fine, leave me alone. They may not know folks yet on this journey, and they may be desperately looking for them, but I don't know of anybody who knows the God I know who isn't also learning to love the family God has in the earth.
Yeah.
That's a great family to hang with, whether you're in Nashville or D.C. or out here.
But also, I'd add the whole dynamic. I don't think it's possible to know this God and end up looking at the world as if those people that disagree with me, they're my enemies.
That's right.
I think that's the disconnect for me when you get in this culture war and I look at the quote religious side and the kind of hatred. I think of, you know, James and John where it's like, what do we call fire down on them? It's kind of like Jesus is like, no, I'm not really looking to do crispy critters, guys.
Yeah, really.
You know, I don't think you know what spirit you're of. The thing that foments this whole war, you're just going like, wait a minute. I don't disagree that I don't like that. I agree with you. I don't like that. But knowing God, I know he really loves them. And I'm not thinking that my haranguing on what they're doing wrong is really going to introduce them to his love. So I don't think I'm going to join your deal and your cry to just, oh, you're just going like, what is that? Seems to be like all the culture war. It seems to be like the arguing over the rules.
Yep.
And it's not really arguing over the person of Jesus and what a relationship and with him or with others. Like, it's just whose rules? My rules, your rules, no rules, some rules, these rules, those rules.
Which would be less an argument, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
If we were talking about him.
Thanks for traveling with us today on The God Journey. If you'd like to join the conversation, we'd appreciate your comments or your questions by email or at our website, thegodjourney.com. Stop by today and join the conversation.